First off, let's start in Mark 11. Let's start in Mark 11. Take a look at verse 22. And this, we're picking this story up after Jesus has cursed the tree, you know, the fig tree, it withers and so forth. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, this message tonight is not going to be in that series on eternal security. We'll pick that up, I think, next Sunday morning. However, you know, you might not want to dismiss verses 25 and 26. Nevertheless, Jesus makes a statement in verse 22. He says, have faith in God. Now, think about that particular statement, have faith in God. And what is it saying? Well, it's saying have faith in God. True. What does it mean, though, to have faith in God? Okay. Let's think of it this way. I'm married to Kathy. Before we got married, I had faith in her. If I had not had faith in her, I would not have married her. Because one of the things that she assured me of, in more or less, not in these exact words, but is that when we get married, there will be nobody else. See what I'm saying? Now, I believed her, and we got married. And it's been over 20 years, and she's been true to her word. If I had not believed her, do you think I would have married her? No. I mean, can you imagine? Where is the logic in dating somebody and falling in love, and that person looks at you and says, you know, I want to marry you, and I want you to know that after we get married, I'm going to cheat on you with every woman that comes along. Oh, honey, wonderful. Let's get married today. Is that dumb or what? Okay. You get married because you believe the person is going to be true to their word, right? You have faith in that person. That what they say is right. Have faith in God. Another way to say this is, well, quite frankly, you can't have faith in God if you do not believe what He says. It's impossible. So we could ask Christians, do you have faith in God? Oh, absolutely, Brother Martin. I have faith in God. Okay, well, what about this verse over here in this particular book and chapter? I mean, do you believe this one? Oh, no, Brother Martin, we don't believe that one. See, we believe that one's passed away. Well, wait a minute now. You're saying you don't believe this particular verse in the Bible. Do you believe God gave us the Bible? Oh, yeah. Bible's the inspired word of God. Do you believe this one? No, I don't believe this verse right here. I believe that is, you know, maybe for you folks, but not for us. Well, why is that? Well, because the sign in front of your church indicates that you belong to one organization, and that organization believes in this verse. But see, the sign in front of our church indicates that we belong to a different organization, and our organization does not believe in that verse. So therefore, I don't believe that. In other words, you're telling me that God is a relative God, and that His word is a relative word, meaning it's relative to what I want to believe. Therefore, if God is a relative God, and His word is relative to the person who wants to believe it, then how do I know I'm believing the right word? Do you see what I'm saying? So if I'm going to have faith in God, I either have to believe His word or I don't. One of the two. Now, if I believe His word, I do not have the choice. Well, I do, but I don't have the substantiated choice of accepting what I want to accept and rejecting what I want to reject. See what I'm saying? Well, Jesus goes on here. He says, have faith in God. So one of the ways that you're going to have faith in God, and this is mandatory, absolutely mandatory, you must believe that what He says is true. Absolutely. Bible says God can't lie and that it's impossible for Him to lie. That's one reason why, I mean, here at this church, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And we're right in that belief. Churches that do not believe that, in that particular belief, they are wrong. Now, I'm not saying they're bad people and going to hell. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying in that particular belief, they are wrong. And the thing is, they do not have Scripture to substantiate it. They have made a choice to dismiss something and call it not true for today, in spite of the fact that the Bible says God cannot lie and that it's impossible for Him to lie. Well, it says have faith in God. So if I'm going to have faith in God, I have to believe what He says to me. Likewise, I had faith in Kathy. I had to believe everything that she told me, and I did. I have faith in God. I have to believe what He tells me. And Jesus says, have faith in God, for verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay? He starts off by saying, have faith in God. That means, if I'm going to have faith in God, I have to have faith in His Word, that everything He says is true. Now, let me ask you a question. As much as I'd like to believe, and as much as you would like to believe, that whatever I say or whatever you say is going to be true, no matter how convinced we are that what we as individuals say will be the right thing, isn't it still possible that what God says might be more right than what we say? All right? Well, the answer to that should be yes. Now, based on that, when it comes to getting something, Jesus said you have what you say, basically, okay? When it comes to getting something, let me ask you this. Do you think you have a better chance of getting whatever you say or getting whatever God has already said that you say? Put it another way. Do you think you have a better chance at getting what you say or by repeating what God has said? Which word will stand the test of time? What you say or what God has said? By which word will you ultimately be judged? Your word or His? His word. Now see, when you understand this, Jesus says, have faith in God. Verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. Do you understand that by Jesus saying, have faith in God, He's already qualifying the source of what we should be saying? Have faith in God, what He has said. I say what He says, I get what He says. He can't lie. But in the next verse, He says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think you have a better chance of praying for and receiving whatever it is that you want, or praying for and receiving what God has already said in His Word? And this is where a lot of Christians don't put a lot of faith in the concept of praying and believing and receiving. It's because there are a lot of Christians that are praying and believing and receiving for things that seem right, but don't line up with the Word or God's will for their lives. Now, Jesus has made a statement here. Have faith in God. Then He says, believe it when you say it, you'll have it. Believe it when you pray it, you'll have it. And it's all relative to having faith in God. So therefore, if I truly have faith in God and I truly believe that what He says is true and that it will come to pass, that it will happen, that means if I include in my prayers things He has already said, I know I am not praying amiss. And I know that I won't be praying to consume it upon my own lusts. Remember James talks about, you know, you have not because you ask not, you ask amiss, etc. and so forth. Well, when I ask according to what I see in the Word, then I know that I'm asking in line with God's will. When I am speaking in line with God's Word, then I know I am speaking in line with God's will. That's how I know that these things will come to pass. Problem is, there are a lot of Christians that don't know enough about God's Word to know how they should speak or how they should pray. Now, I can tell you one thing. I don't see in Scripture that Jesus was a complainer. Do you? Oh, He rebuked some people now and then, but I don't see in Scripture that Jesus was a complainer. Think of it. Let your mind right now fast forward through all the Scripture you've ever read in your life. Do you recall one somewhere that says something like, not these exact words, just something like this, thou shalt be a complainer? No, wait a minute. I remember something about do not murmur. And complaining is a part of murmuring. Therefore, if you are a complainer, then you are not speaking in line with God's Word. Very simple. Now, let's look at something. You can put a marker here in Mark 11. I don't know if we'll come back to it or not. We might save you a moment or two if you have something in there. But turn over to Isaiah chapter 7. I want to show you something here. Isaiah chapter 7. Look first in verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, and the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto who? Unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. Remember, Ahaz is the guy we first met, verse 1. Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And look at what's it say here at the very first part of verse 4. And say unto him. And say unto him. Okay, now. We're not going to read everything that it went on to say, but I wanted to point that out to you. Here's Ahaz, and he's facing a situation. God gets a hold of Isaiah, and he says, Isaiah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go from here over to there, and when you get there, I want you to meet up with Ahaz. Now, when you get to Ahaz, this is what I want you to tell him. And so God told Isaiah what to say. Isaiah left, and he goes over, and he meets Ahaz. And he says, Ahaz, this is what the Lord told me to say to you. And he began to share with Ahaz what the Lord told him to say. Now look again, here in the same chapter, but in verse 10. It says, Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Now stop right there. We won't go on and read everything that was said. When God, in verse 4 where it says, And say unto him, and the Lord told Isaiah what to say, who was God really talking to? I mean, I know he was like sending Isaiah with a message, but who was God really talking to? Ahaz. He was really speaking to Ahaz, but he was doing it through Isaiah. Do you see what I'm saying? He wasn't telling Isaiah these things. He was saying, Isaiah, here's a word I want you to go give to Ahaz. So Ahaz or Isaiah went and he did that. Now here in verse 10 it says, Moreover, or in addition to all of this, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Now who do you think it was that was actually doing the verbal, out loud pronunciation of the words that begin in verse 11? Isaiah. What's the name of the book? Isaiah. Okay? So, moreover, the word came again to Ahaz, saying. So Isaiah goes to Ahaz. See, Isaiah wrote the book. So when he writes this book, he didn't have to redo what he just said in the first few verses. He just says, moreover, or he could have written, and the Lord told me to go back to Ahaz a second time and tell him this. Well, that's not what he wrote, because he figures by now you're catching on to what's happening here. So he says, moreover, the Lord spake again to Ahaz, saying, and so God says, Isaiah, go back to Ahaz and tell him this. So Isaiah says, okay. So he goes back to Ahaz and he says, it's me again. He says, the Lord's got something else for you. Summa, blah, blah, blah. And he tells him again what the Lord said. Now, think of this. How many times, oh, by the way, we won't go into great detail, but the things that Ahaz received from Isaiah, do you believe they came to pass or not? Okay, now, did Isaiah tell Ahaz what Isaiah wanted him to hear, or did Isaiah tell Ahaz what the Lord wanted him to hear? Okay, now, did Isaiah have a Bible to read? No. The Lord communicated to Isaiah. Now, we don't know if the Lord appeared to him or how it was, but somehow the Lord was able to get a message to Isaiah. Isaiah took those words and he went to Ahaz and he said, okay, here it is. Well, now see, we have a record in our Bible of what happened. It was written down for us. Let me start with this. There is a ministry, and I believe it's Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Every now and then they use this phrase, one word from God can change your life. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it's true. One word from God can change your life. Now, how many times have you wished you could get a word from the Lord? A word from the Lord that would change your life. A word from the Lord that would change your circumstances. Anybody here but me ever wish such a thing? Well, here's what we fail sometimes to consider. You have a book full of words from the Lord. Now, let's say that the Lord moved on me right now to call some people out and say, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 amen. Well, that would be recorded on tape. And then what we could do is we could transcribe it from tape onto a piece of paper and then give it to you. You would have a word from the Lord, would you not? Now, it would not be Scripture, but it would be from the Lord. And so its impact from that perspective now, that it's from the Lord, its impact would be just as heavy as if it were Scripture, but it's not Scripture. But it still came from the Lord. This is where a lot of people mess up. They have somebody prophesy great things over them, and it is dead. You ever had somebody call you out and give you a word, and man, on the inside, it's like the Holy Ghost is saying, are you listening? Are you listening? I'm talking to you. And it is from God. Well, see, even though it's not Scripture, and it'll never be Scripture, but it's relative to you in a given situation. A lot of people want to receive these kinds of words from God. I want a word. I need answers. I need solutions. What do you have in your hand? This is a word from God to the world. Now, some of this is relative only to Christians. Very simple example. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. All right? Well, unless you're a Christian, Holy Ghost can't come upon you. You know what I'm saying? You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless, you know, you're born again. So that is a statement relative only to Christians. Now, there is a statement that is relative, that is no longer relative, I hope, to any of us in this room. That word is this: ye must be born again. Because if I'm already born again, that word is no longer relative to me, but it was relative to me at one time. You understand what I'm saying? So I acted upon that word. I got a word from the Lord, ye must be born again. Now, no preacher had to give it to me. All I had to do was read it in here. Ye must be born again. I got that word from the Lord. Now, I acted on that word, and I combined it with another word from the Lord, which said that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Are you with me? Okay, so that is another word from the Lord to me. Not to you too, but it was to me. So I took, you must be born again, that word from the Lord to me, and I combined it with, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and acted on that word from the Lord to me, and I got born again. Now, I don't need to act on, you must be born again. You see, are you with me? However, there was another one that I needed to act on, and I didn't for many years. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, the day came that I acted on that word from the Lord, and the moment I did, guess what? Mark 11:22-23. I got what I said. Are you with me? Now, God's Word, you can go ahead and turn back over to Mark. God's Word made the declaration, you must be born again. And Jesus went on and explained other things in John chapter 3 that are relative to people who aren't born again. It doesn't matter what age you live in, relative to people that aren't born again. Jesus went on, Romans, it goes on, we get this other word. Confess, believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, born again, saved, okay? So now, every single one of us that acted upon that word from the Lord and took it and made it our own, are you with me? We got what we said, did we not? You talk about being born again, I made that word my own, I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart, and I received what I confessed, which was born again. Then I applied the same principle. I confessed with my mouth what I believed with my heart, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? Now, every one of us in here, I'm guessing, are byproducts of what I've just described. In other words, what Jesus said here in Mark 11, we are living proof it works. Amen? We're living proof this word is real. Now, why is it then that we doubt the confessing of His Word concerning other areas? Why is it that we question the reality of confessing the Word of God in other areas? Why is it that maybe some of us have even criticized in times past all that faith and confession stuff? Does not the Word of God say right here in Mark, believe it, say it, get it? Now, listen, we all know there have been abuses in this. People have gotten way out in left field about some of these things. And they've got people, you know, confessing. I mean, they're living in sin, but confessing for millions of dollars. You know, something's not right somewhere. So yes, there are abuses. We're not talking abuses tonight. We are talking about the reality of what God has declared for us in His Word. God cannot lie. Therefore, I believe it, I say it, I get it. I believe it, I pray it, I get it. And really what's interesting is that here in Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24, what Jesus is really doing is drawing a connection between prayer and confession. It's not just a matter of asking, it's a matter also of declaring. Well, what are we declaring? The Word of God. Now, that leads to this. If God has said something about you, not you specifically, but about you in His Word. If God has said something in Scripture concerning circumstances, what word is going to work best for you in your life? Simply here, I'll give you an example. By His stripes you were healed. Is that God's Word or not? Okay. So then I can take, by His stripes you were healed, and I can begin to apply that to my body. By His stripes I was healed. By His stripes I was healed. By His stripes I was healed. I am healed by His stripes. By His stripes I stand here healed. I'm healed, healed, healed by His stripes, stripes, stripes. Healed I am, by stripes I was. Hallelujah. Are you with me? You see, all right, now, why would I not believe that would work? Because I've been told it doesn't work. Who has been telling me that it won't work? Indirectly, Satan, but directly, my religious past. Because there's nothing in Scripture that tells me to doubt this. There's everything in Scripture that tells me to believe it. Are you with me? So, it's amazing. We actually contradict ourselves. We believed it and we confessed it and got born again. We believed it and we confessed it and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And now all of a sudden we're supposed to stop? Now all of a sudden, we're not supposed to confess it? Now, just think for a moment about your life and what you're facing right now, whatever it would be. Are you facing any circumstances that need to be changed? Has God said anything in His Word about those kinds of circumstances? Therefore, what should you be saying the most? What God has said or what you're facing? Amazing how simple it is, right? Now let's bring this home for a little bit here, specifically for what we're going to do tonight. Do you believe that God wants people born again? Well, is that not why Jesus died? For God so loved the world. God wants everyone born again. He wants no one to miss out. God wants everyone to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. He doesn't want anyone to live without Jesus. Therefore, what does God's Word say about people being born again? It's not my will that any perish, but all come to repentance. Is that not what God's Word is? Okay. Therefore, if we want to see people born again, living for God, filled with the Holy Spirit, I mean, on and on it goes. If we want to see these things happen, then we absolutely must speak God's Word instead of the present condition of that individual. Now, listen, this is not some kind of ignore the reality of the situation. In other words, if somebody's not yet born again, they're not yet born again. Do you realize what I'm saying? Well, for those of you that are here tonight who are born again, do you understand that I am not going to confess God's Word over you to be born again? Why should I do that? You've already born again. Likewise, for those of you that are here tonight filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to confess God's Word over you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You already are. Why would I do that? However, if there are people out there, your friends and family members, mine, who are not yet born again, then I need to speak God's Word over them. I can't change a person's will. You understand what I'm saying? I can't control an individual. There's nothing in Scripture to substantiate that. But what I can do is impact their circumstances with the Word of God. And you can see this happening in Scripture. Jesus impacted the circumstances of people by His words, did He not? Likewise, from Acts further, I mean, you go on into the New Testament and you can see how people's lives were impacted by the speaking of the will of God, by the speaking of the Word of God. What we do when we speak the Word of God is we are releasing what He has already said won't return void. His Word does not force a person to get born again, but what it does is impact their heart to help their eyes be open to see the need to be born again. Satan does not want you to speak the Word of God. Satan wants you to speak everything that is relative to what he wants to happen. When it comes to revival, the only way that we're going to see revival is to act on what God has already declared in His Word. There is no other option. You can't have revival without God's Word being a part. You see what I'm saying? When Jesus was talking about people building a... remember, He gave the illustration. There are two men. You know, one built his house on the sand. The storms came and beat it up and it fell down. And the other one, he built his house on the rocks. And the storm came and beat on it, but the house stood. Well, the rock that Jesus was talking about are His sayings. What he was telling us there is, if you build your life, or anything relative to your life, your ministry, whatever it would be, if you build your life on My sayings, now how are you going to do that if you don't know what He said? And how are you going to do that if you're not saying what He said? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you build your life, your ministry, everything about you, your health, your finances, everything, if you build it on what your checkbook is telling you, you're building it on sand. If you try to build, I'm using this as an illustration, if you try to build revival on what's presently happening, you're not going to have revival. People will just stay away from the church and they'll continue on the path to hell. But if you build all that you do on the Word of God, you will begin to have what you say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if the abundance of your heart is the will of the Father, and that is what you are declaring, regardless of the circumstances, then you're going to begin to see changes take place in your life and in your circumstances. My mom confessed and prayed and confessed for me to come back to the Lord. Now, I had to make the choice to do it, but I did. I made the choice. Through her confessions and through the confessions in her prayers, what she did was create for me an atmosphere that made it very difficult for Satan to continue to work. Because Mom was speaking the word over my life. Remember the fellow that came to Jesus and he says, "Look, man, you got to come." He said, "Look, you know, this servant is sick, going to die." And Jesus said, "Don't worry about it. I'll come there and heal him." He says, No, Jesus, don't, no, huh? No. Just say the word. Just say the word, Jesus. Just say the word. And my servant will be healed." And Jesus says, "Wow, faith. Okay, servant be healed." And the man goes back home, and sure enough, the servant was healed. Jesus was in point A, the servant was at point B. Jesus spoke the word, and the servant was healed. The man in the middle said, "Jesus, speak the word." Jesus spoke the word, and it happened. We're born again with the life of the Father in us, like Jesus was. We now have the right to speak the word in the same way Jesus did. We can be in point A and whoever in point B, and we can begin changing circumstances by speaking the word of God. It's totally up to us. This is why confessing the word, what's one of the reasons why confessing the word is so incredibly powerful. The Lord has really been dealing with me about, I don't know what kind of frequency, but about taking Sunday nights and confessing over revival. I mean, guys, look, my ego wants to tell me that my preaching and teaching is the greatest, but you've got to understand something. My preaching and teaching will not cause revival. My preaching and my teaching is to help in revival, but it's not going to cause it. You know what will cause it? One of the things that will cause it is if we get on board with God's Word and we speak God's Word concerning His will for this area. That begins to cause revival. And that's where you lose a lot of people. I'm not saying that we're going to lose people here, but generally speaking, when you come together and all you do is just quote a bunch of verses, why, we need preaching, we need teaching. No, you don't. You need to act on it. You need to do something with it. How much more can you absorb? You need to confess the Word. That's the thing that got you born again. That's the thing that got you filled with the Holy Spirit. And for some of you, that's the thing that got your healing to manifest in your body. We need to do this now concerning other areas which pertain to revival. It's very important for us to do this. Trust me, I don't have any problem coming up with material to teach. But it's more important, maybe not for us in this room, if you catch what I'm saying here, it's more important for the people out there that we declare the Word of God. They're not hearing my sermons. And quite frankly, my sermons aren't changing a whole lot of the atmosphere in their homes and in the communities. But I'll guarantee you this, we start speaking the Word of God, the will of God over this area, and things will change. They have to, because it's God's Word. Now what we're doing is we are choosing to make God's Word our Word. Just like Jesus said, "I don't speak whatever I want, I speak what I hear." The Father told him what to say, he said it, and a world was changed. Amen. Same thing's true for us. We're going to confess tonight. We're going to speak the Word of God, and then we're going to confess, going to take the Word of God and turn it into confessions relative to revival. And one of the worst things we can do is say, "Well, that's boring." But that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. See, I believe it can get to the point to where we will have our time of praise and worship and just go right into confessions. You don't need... How much more of this kind of teaching can I give you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you either accept it or you don't. You either believe it or you don't. Maybe if we have people that question it, we'll just give them this tape. Here, go listen to this. I don't need to reteach it. Or maybe instead of teaching, we'll just pass out a tape from tonight or something and say, go home and listen to that. But for now, we're confessing the Word of God. That's what we're going to do tonight, the rest of the service. We're going to speak the Word of God concerning revival. And I'm telling you now, we will be doing this more and more as time comes. I don't know what kind of frequency, but we are going to do this because we are going to change things in this area. And you know, it's like the one person was confessing the Word of God concerning healing for their body, and someone says, well, what if it doesn't work? It's God's Word, it will work. But what if it doesn't work? But it's God's Word, it will work. But what if it doesn't work? Okay, if it doesn't work, at least I die doing the right thing. Are you with me? So, all this confession about revival? Well, if it doesn't work. At least we die doing the right thing. Praise God. At least we will give this community a fighting chance because we'll be releasing the Word of God that can change the circumstances and bring about revival. And if no other church in this area does this, praise God, at least one church will do it. And I can tell you right now, all it takes is one church to speak the Word of God, to bring about revival and speak through this area. We can be that church. But praise God, what if there's a bunch of others out there doing the same thing? Using their own verses, their own confessions, but still, it's the Word of God, the will of God. And the devil doesn't have a chance. He ought to just leave now. Just go. It's going to be a lot less pain on him, right? Hallelujah. Okay. Let us... Yeah, do it. Oops. There we go. Okay. Let's commence to confessing. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Father, it is not Your will that any perish, but that everyone comes to repentance and accept Jesus as Savior. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I call Grace Christian Center and the Miami Valley in revival and filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Father, send laborers into the harvest field of the lives of the people. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, hurt them, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. People are coming in from the north, south, east, and west. They are being redeemed from the hand of the enemy and are sitting down in the kingdom of God. The lost are being saved. Backsliders are being restored, and they are all filled with the Holy Spirit. The sick, afflicted, and maimed are healed and made whole. Those oppressed or possessed by demonic powers are delivered. Every week, more and more people are coming in. No matter where they are or where they live or what church they currently attend, the ones who the Father wants here are coming in and nothing hinders them. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. The children of my family and this church shall not be the prey of or taken captive by the enemy or give in to any of his temptations to sin. I call them born again, filled with the Holy Spirit and on fire for God. They are his children, and they call him their God. Their heart is tender toward him, and they serve, fear, and respect him forever, and train their children to do the same. They hunger and thirst after righteousness, and the cry of their heart is, Come with us and go deeper into God. Let us never forget that he is our Father, and we are his children. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. God is sending in every willing, skillful worker for every area of ministry in this church. The talents, abilities, ministries, and gifts contained in every person who is a part of this ministry are coming forth in excellence, being developed and used for the glory of Jesus. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. The people of this church are praisers, and they are worshipers. They praise and worship God in song, on instruments, in dance, and with uplifted hands. They are not shy, self-conscious, or hindered by pride and religious traditions. They sing in the Spirit and with the understanding. We worship the Lord as one. His glory fills this place like a cloud. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church, redeeming the time because the days are evil. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The people of this church are praying people. They redeem their time and use it wisely. They spend time in fellowship with God, praying in the Spirit and with the understanding. They are edified and built up on their most holy faith. But thou, when thou fastest, Anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The people of this church are fasting people. They fast and tear down strongholds of the flesh. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The people of this church are word people. They meditate in God's word day and night, and live by every word that comes from God. They do not allow the doctrines or traditions of man to render the word of God of none effect. They do not compromise by exalting religious beliefs of their past over truth. They are sound in doctrine and prosper in all they do. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels, you are dispatched to go forth and create atmospheres conducive for all of these things to happen. Father, may they be empowered from on high to accomplish these things. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Father, your word has gone forth, and it will not return void. It will accomplish your will and prosper as it has been sent. Please add your anointing and power to these things. May Jesus be glorified and you glorified in him as these things are accomplished and fulfilled. In Jesus' name, by faith, we call all of these things a completed work. The Miami Valley is in revival. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now stand up and begin to worship Him and thank Him for these things. Begin to give Him glory for His Word coming to pass, for His will being accomplished. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Your Father, your Word is at work. Your Word is at work now, Father. 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 Your Word is working even this moment. It has gone forth, Father, and it will not return void. Your Word is producing your will in the Miami Valley. Your Word is producing your will in this church. Your word is producing revival in this region, in our hearts, in this church. Your word is working even now. Your word is working even now. And our lost family members are being born again. And the backsliders are coming in, Father. Your word, even now, it's penetrating their hearts. It's penetrating the darkness. And your word is working now, Father. We are in revival. We are in revival. I praise you. I praise you. Your word is true. Your word is true, Father. Your word is true. It is working. Even this moment, Father, your word is working. We have released your word, Father. It is working in this region right now. You're right now, Father. Right now, lives are being changed. Right now, hearts are being changed. Right now, people are responding, Father. Right now, they're calling out on Jesus Christ. They're calling on the name of the Lord, and they are being saved. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Jesus. It's working. It's working even now, Father. I praise you, Jesus. Praise you for the power of your word, Father. Praise you for the power of your word. Praise you for the power of your word. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. We glorify you. We call it done, Father. We call it done, Father. We praise your name. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your word is working right this minute. Your word is working, Father. Your word has gone forth. It's changing things. Even now as we praise you, your word is changing things. We bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. We worship you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You get the glory for it, Jesus. You get the glory and the honor and the praise. You get the worship. It's all for you, Jesus. It's all for your kingdom. It's all for the works and the will of the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Now, there are some of you here tonight, you've got some family members that are being touched this very instant by the word that we sent forth. Now, you may not believe that. You may not think it's really happening. But it is. Problem is, their problem is not going to call you and tell you. They're not going to tell you if they sense the presence of God at 7:20 p.m. this night. They're not going to call you and tell you,
well, you were right.
Well, eventually they will. You know, you understand what I'm saying, okay? God's word went forth, and right now, things are changing. The worst thing that we can do is to back off and let Satan regroup. You ever watched a boxing match? When one boxer lands a blow on the other one and he can tell that he's hurt that other one, does he stand back and wait for him to catch his breath? He goes in for the kill, does he not? And wails away to try to put the other guy down. Now the other guy, once he gets put down, he may come back for a rematch. But the one that knocked him down before, do you think he believes he can knock him down again? You better believe it. Worst thing we can do is rejoice that we did this tonight and then back off and give the devil an opportunity to regroup. This is why what we did here tonight is one of the most important things that we can do as a church. And I'm telling you right now, if more churches caught on to it, can you imagine what would happen if every church that preaches Jesus would do this on a regular basis? Here in this area, can you imagine what would be happening? Can you imagine how many of our family members would no longer be lost? Well, you know what? We're going to effect change. We're going to do this. And I'll be honest with you, if there are people here in this church that get turned off by doing this, and they say, well, I'm going to go to a church where we get some teaching. We're not going to do this every service, but you know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not going to chase them down. This is a part of seeing the work of God accomplished in our lives, in this church, in our families, in this region. My words by themselves, the words I can generate, won't change it. But when I take His words and put them in my heart and release them out of my mouth, that's when changes are going to take place. Things are going to happen. We do this collectively. Man, it's like an army releasing weapons. Scud missiles, hallelujah, of the word. Things will change. Am I promising you miraculous change by tomorrow morning? I'm not promising that, but I tell you it can happen. I mean, there might be somebody here tonight, a family member that you've been trusting God for. What we did tonight could cause them to stay awake all night long and not be able to sleep and cry out to Jesus and then call you tomorrow morning at 6 and tell you what happened. This is reality, guys. This really could take place. All I know is if we keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this, along with everything else we know to do, we keep doing this, the change is going to happen. So I probably won't be announcing a whole lot ahead of time when we do these services, because there might be somebody who would say, well, all they're doing is confessions. Gosh, I hope nobody believes that way. I hope nobody comes to thinking that way. Oh my goodness, please, if you ever hear of anybody saying such a thing, handle it with wisdom and love. How horrible it would be for someone to exalt my teaching above what we did tonight. Man, I think that'd almost be dangerous. I can't replace the Word of God. No way. What we did tonight, boy, if we could see into the realm of the Spirit, what we've done, you imagine there's probably bloody demons all over the place. Crying out from a Synhedrin or something, you know. Come lay hands on me, I need help. And we're not going to do that. We waged warfare tonight, and not one of us got cut or bruised or injured or hurt in the process. Praise God. Man, this is the way to fight. So, from this night on, think about how you perceive your family members, regardless of where they are, not born again, not filled with the Holy Spirit, not healed, I mean, whatever it would be, consider how you perceive them. And instead of reinforcing all the stuff, we're not talking about ignoring the circumstances, we're talking about instead of reinforcing the circumstances that need to be changed, speak the will of God over them. Well, they're living in the world. Well, but, you know, I just say in Jesus' name, they're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost and serving the Lord. Yeah, but they're out there boozing. Well, I just say in Jesus' name, they're drunk on new wine. Well, yeah, but they're, well, but I say in Jesus' name. See what I'm saying? Change your perception of this and begin to do what we did tonight. Come up with your own confession. This changes things. Praise God, we're going to see it happen. We're going to see it happen. We're going to see it happen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's nothing more effective than confessing and praying the Word of God to see this.